Hotel Mars, episode N. I'm John Batchelor with David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, my colleague and co-host, and we're discussing a disappointment. Not a failure yet, a disappointment. It's based upon the spacecraft Starliner, which was conceived as our guest Eric Berger of Ars Technica says, a space taxi to and from the U.S. and other launch points to space station, the ISS now, who knows how many in the future, as low Earth orbit and medium Earth orbit and higher Earth orbit go totally commercial. You can imagine a carnival in space. All of this is possible. And Boeing has a potential winner. Can carry four astronauts on the top of a booster. There is unknowns about booster, but I want to concentrate on what Eric identifies as the three options. The first option, Eric, and take it away, please.
So the first option is to kind of continue limping along to getting this spacecraft on orbit. You know, they're now more than 3 years behind SpaceX on their first crewed flight to the International Space Station. They've lost almost $1 billion on the program. If they continue to work it, they probably will get Starliner into a flight-worthy configuration. But they only have enough Atlas V rockets to fly the spacecraft seven times. And, you know, if they're going to do more than this initial contract with NASA, they're probably going to need to build more of the Starliners because they only have two flyable versions of the spacecraft. So the first option is to kind of limping along and serve out the NASA contract that calls for six operational crew delivery missions to the space station.
David, you have a question about that, limping along.
Well, in limping along, do they have any partner or any other government knowledgeable agency that shares oversight and design and review, or is this 100% in-house Boeing?
Well, it's NASA. They're working with NASA.
So they do have a partner, but NASA's doesn't bend metal. NASA assigns money. So let's come to the second option, which is to walk away. Now, that would be flabbergasting. The immediate analogy I thought of when I read your piece, Eric, is X-37. Once upon a time, didn't NASA walk away from X-37 and the Air Force or the military picked it up? Would it look like that, walking away? You put it on a shelf and somebody comes by and buys it wholesale.
I mean, it's possible that someone would come along and buy it, but Boeing could walk away by either ending the program or potentially selling it to someone else that was interested in it. It'd be difficult for me to see them selling it, but possibly that could happen. But yeah, I mean, they could walk away. They could say, look, we've lost $1 billion. We're giving up another $1 billion with, leaving money on the table, but we just can't close the business case for this. We don't think it's going to work and we're going to lose more money. And so we just need to cut our losses now. And that would be a huge loss for NASA, which has invested a decade or more in this program and lots of and billions of dollars.
David, you have a question about option two, locking the door and walking away.
Any percentage bets on whether they would do that or not, what the odds are for that?
Boy, I still see that as a relatively low possibility. But after the most recent failures, you know, I certainly would say like it's a 1 in 4 chance, something like that.
You know, in Sea Tales, Eric, you talk about having a Jonah on board. That's what it begins to sound like. The delays, the cost overruns, the initial contract that was going to cost the corporation in the future indefinitely if they didn't bring it in on time. And then you mentioned the boosters. They're out of boosters. This program doesn't have a way to fly for 5 years unless somebody builds them one. What is plan B for a booster?
Well, that's the third option. The third option is if they really want to make Starliner viable in a long-term spacecraft, they need to be making investments now. So you mentioned that the Atlas V rocket is eventually going to retire, and they've reserved enough to fly out the six operational missions for NASA. But after that, they've got to find a new rocket and human rate it to carry Starliner, and that's not cheap. That's at least hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of certification and paperwork and time. And they've got to build more. They've only got two, and they've got to invest in that. They've got to maybe redesign the service module that powers the spacecraft. So if they want to make Starliner viable to compete with Crew Dragon and to go to commercial space stations and fly beyond 2030, they're going to be putting more money in now, not sort of trying to salvage the investments they've made.
Putting more money in, their own money, right? They'd be like a startup on Starliner.
They would have to self-invest. You know, that was what commercial crew was supposed to be when we, you know, when it started, that's, we talked about it was a fixed price program. These companies were building spacecraft. They were selling the transportation services to NASA, but then they were also going to the private sector and selling those seats. And with that mix of government and private money, they could get their investments back. The problem for Boeing is they didn't really put that much investment in. And that's one of the reasons they're behind the eight ball now.
David, I call on your general conversation with the space community. That is what you do as Dr. Space. Is Starliner part of anybody's conversation, or has it been forgotten, written off years ago?
I don't think it was written off or forgotten, but I haven't heard Starliner mentioned in months and months. And in fact, when you suggested this program, I sent you back a note and said, Starliner, I forgot that it was even in existence. And I just came from the ISDC conference and wasn't mentioned there at all. Everything is focused on SpaceX for the most part. Even the Vulcan that Eric mentioned later is not yet in anybody's prime eyesight. And actually, that's the question I have for Eric.
Go ahead.
Boeing is a founding partner of ULA, United Launch, and still has that association. And ULA, you mentioned a couple of months ago, may be up on the block to sell. And so what's the appetite for ULA to start building and dedicating rockets to its associate partner, Boeing, for Starliner when they've got other options for what to do with Vulcan?
We've got 30 seconds, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are they hungry for that, Eric?
I wouldn't say they're hungry for that because, as you mentioned, they have a very long manifest for Vulcan that they have to fly out long before they would get to Starliner. And I think that would be part of a negotiation if and when ULA is sold anyway. You know, Starliner is needed as an alternative to Dragon because there's a lot of companies out there that really don't want to partner with SpaceX because it's just feeding the competition. There is an appetite for, you know, competition for transportation, but Starliner is not filling that bill right now.
Eric Berger, the senior space editor at Ars Technica, David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.